Welcome to the FT Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 24th of January, and I'm recording at 9:16 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, a bit of drama here today, as you're probably very well aware. And let's conclude here. This is the big picture long-term outlook. First, we're going to have a look at what's happening here in the short term, as I usually do. But it's pretty obvious from today's action that the correction on Wall Street, the long-awaited correction, I should say, there's every indication that that has actually commenced here today. And in case you just haven't seen some of the figures, the indices were down over 2% on Wall Street. And Dow's fraction less, but the NASDAQ down 2.15. And we had heavy selling across the region. We had Canada down over 1.5, Mexico 1.33, Brazil, which has been a whipping boy in terms of its overall performance, was only down 1.10%. So it's the markets that have been doing best that have been hit hardest here. On the profit taking. And remember, you might remember what I said at the beginning of the month, that January would be more vulnerable because some profit taking had been delayed. In other words, a lot of investors, not least some of the big institutional investors, they may well have felt that they had taken enough profits throughout the course of the year 2013, and were keen to hold off on some of the other profit taking until they got into the new year. Well, that's also a factor, I think, in the selling pressure that we're actually seeing. But the Euro Stoxx 50 index down 2.85%. Some big hits here in Europe. The FTSE, that's 100, that's the UK markets, is only down 1.62%. CAC 2.8, DAX 2.5 nearly. Spain 3.64% down. So these are big big hits, mostly over 2% right across the boards. Now, Asia Pacific, Japan was soft. Up at the higher side of its range for the Nikkei, and that was down just under 2% here. Let's come back to 15,391, and given the correction that's likely to occur on Wall Street, and also given the way the yen has rallied, it's currently 102.25 against the U.S. dollar. And you remember it was up above 105 just as these Japanese indices were hitting their highs here last week and earlier this week. So if we see the Nikkei going down below the 15,000 level, and it's only 391 points away from that for more than a day or two, and that's a risk, then I would just suggest, I think, a longer trading phase within the consolidation range. Now, I don't want to overreact in this situation, and people become emotional when we get sharp sell-offs like this, not subscribers, of course. But you tend to see quite a bit of choppy volatility overall, and something that veteran subscribers have heard me say for decades, and I think most subscribers have heard me say in recent years on a number of occasions, that the time to sell is when you see markets falter after a really good run. And that time is now, if you want to sell. And I'm not saying that people should or actually need to. I would certainly reduce leveraged positions, leverage long positions, if one had those. But if you're a long-term investor in terms of your personal portfolio, for instance, I'm not itching to to sell any of my investment positions right now. If I did, the one that's got the biggest gain over the last year is that Atlantis China Healthcare Fund, which has had a terrific performance. But I think China is likely to be a bit contracyclical in here, and it'll uncouple, I should really say, more from Wall Street than most other stock markets overall, and the China market has been a serial underperformer. It was up today, incidentally. Shanghai was up a little bit, and here today, one of the few markets it was. So I'm not going to take those, but I have a couple of hedge positions now protected with in the money stops close to break even level, to be truthful, but slightly in the money. Just protecting those, and that may give me the leeway to open a little more. I always open leverage positions on a gradual basis. Here, I need not have to mention these. I need not have bought the JII. That's the J.P. Morgan India fund, but it was a very small initial stake, and if it were to pull back sharply, then I would almost certainly add to that. Now, I think that as far as Wall Street's concerned, which is going to be the big influence here and is today, I'm not expecting a bear market. I think though that the long overdue 10% correction is more than likely to occur. And I don't see why that should not occur. So we see at least a mean reversion back to the rising 200-day moving averages. And then that's probably a buying opportunity. And I think, therefore, in terms of selling, and I'll just repeat this point for emphasis here, sell if you're wanting to sell, if you're thinking about selling anything, do it at the beginning of a corrective phase. Don't be selling when everybody's pessimistic and worried and so on after a 10 to 15% correction and more for some of those markets, as we saw, for instance, as we've seen with the ASEAN indices. And once again, the Davos event has been a good contrary indicator, because earlier in the week we were hearing how optimistic everybody was. I say that with a chuckle and a twinkle in the eyes, you may have heard. But again, buy low, sell high. In here. Now, overall on the year, I expect it to be choppy. I've said that before in these audios. We weren't seeing anything choppy up until now, assuming I'm right and that that this correction is underway here. But let's put it this way, there's more evidence of that than we've seen previously. And yesterday I made the point in the comment of the day in my opening piece there, and talking about the correction, just saying that if it had commenced, that we would get follow through today. If it hadn't, for instance, if the market had rallied back up today, as we'd seen after other smaller downward dynamics, such as we saw yesterday on Thursday, then that would hold off the event for a little while longer. But these are big downward dynamics today, and I don't want to belabor the point. Okay, so what about the rest of the year overall? I think that I wouldn't be too pessimistic about it. It's to quote Kenneth McMillan, it's going to depend on, well, it's events, dear boy, events. And There'll be plenty of those that are actually taking place, but let's remember, in terms of the big picture, although the tapering started in the U.S., or is about to start, we have still a very positive monetary tailwind overall. We're just going to see a bit of a correction in the valuations here, and that is a good thing because the more overextended you get, then the more of a bubble you're developing, and that's never good. That it usually ends ends badly. Okay, what about the longer term outlook? Well, I think that GDP growth is still quite slow. It is improving somewhat overall, though, again, with the help of all this accommodative monetary policy. As far as I'm concerned, we are right on line with what one should expect following a severe credit crisis recession. Because you get a credit crisis recession, and what happens? Consumers stop spending. Corporations turn cautious and cut back on their spending, and they also streamline, which is a nice euphemism for laying off a lot of workers. And so that leads to less consumption. And the U.S. economy is 70% dependent on consumer spending, so that's a big deal. And then the government is not really in all that good a position to help out, particularly if it has already been running deficits, as was the case with the U.S. government, because their tax receipts are down. So, you get a stall in those three engines: consumer, corporates, and the government, effectively. And then, as you have seen and probably know, then the corporates are by far the first to recover here because they demand, they cut fat, and also the autonomies among them are big global players, so they're able to benefit where the growth is still somewhat better, and it has been in a number of the emerging markets, although it's slowed there as well. But corporates lead the recovery, and we've seen that certainly in the phenomenal share performance that's taken place. And but we also know, and I've talked about the fact that the attractive earnings that we were seeing for a lot of companies was based less on increased revenue and more on share buybacks. Flattering the profits, in other words. So that leads to corrections, and valuations come down, and then the market will be quite attractive. That's the overall environment that I see here, and a choppy year, but I think that Wall Street will escape without a significant bear market. I put in the term, the adjective significant here, because I'm not happy with the 20% definition. I mean, that's a big setback for anyone. We're not going to see a crunching bear market here, in my opinion. I'm reasonably confident on that. Some other markets that have political problems, have big social problems, are more susceptible to that sort of bigger sell-off than we'll see generally. Okay, what else? Long-dated government bonds. I think the Fed has been very keen to keep those yields down. They don't want them rising too quickly overall when they're commencing the tapering. And if the Fed influence is what has held those 3-year treasuries, 10-year treasuries in check, and they're down in the 2.2 270s region on the yield, then that's good. That's one worry off the table. We're not seeing a surge in interest rates, and I think that will remain the case. We're still in this lengthy medium-term correction here before yields eventually do push higher, but there's Treasury yields, but they're not going to push higher during a stock market correction phase because people will be covering shorts in the Treasury market and opening some longs. I would not be tempted to do that myself. I quickly add. Now, I think that looking around at the currency markets overall, the emerging market currencies are vulnerable in here. They've been vulnerable for a while, and the while goes back to May, because that's when we saw some of the overextended accelerations. I illustrated those charts in my lead item yesterday on that, just and you could see how much the NASDAQ resembled some of those Asian ASEAN indices. I also made the point that there were genuine factors there for American exceptionalism, emotional term, but you know what I mean. The exceptionalism is in the technology lead and also in the very competitive energy position, and the US dollar has not been slumping in here. But with the emerging markets, when those currencies go soft, that puts pressure on investors to chop those positions. So we'll see a little more of that, I think, during this Wall Street correction. And actually, as those currencies weaken, when the correction is over, assuming we get a good correction, and I think we will, but when that's over, then if we have weaker emerging market currencies and lower emerging market stock markets, the valuations would really be quite attractive. And I would think we will certainly have a good look at that as this event here develops. And I think that there will be buying opportunities after a correction. I know there will be. Okay, moving on. In terms of government bond yields, again, I don't expect anything much to soar in here, except where there are obvious fundamental crises underway. One automatically thinks in the West, at any rate, one automatically thinks of Europe, because we remember a few years ago when all the talk about the collapse of the euro never here except to describe what people were talking about, and the fact that we disagreed with that view on the basis that Mario Draghi and the ECB were going to keep the euro together at all costs, and they have done so for better or worse, and I think it is probably for the better, because but they this crisis hopefully is causing some of these countries to change their economic policies to make them a little bit more competitive overall. Crises usually do have that long-term effect. So I'm hoping and reasonably optimistic that Europe will emerge as somewhat more competitive in the years ahead, and that would be a very good thing indeed. Now, other currencies, I think the euro. The ECB may well feel that the euro is a little bit expensive in here at 1.3676. You probably remember that in the last couple of months it's pushed up over that 1.38 or up near that 1.38, 1.38 level, and then has fallen back again. And sterling's eased in here today down to 164.99. No country is going to want to have a strong currency, but as we often say at FT Money, we or some countries can handle a stronger currency more than others. Take Singapore, for instance, largely a financial center, and they can deal with a stronger currency, but a commodity exporter cannot. Okay, what about some of those commodities? Well, I think it's a long, slow type 3 base building process for the industrial commodities, and I think that that will continue. But if growth is a little bit higher, global GDP growth, that is, if that's a little bit stronger towards the end of the year than it is right now, and I think that's a better than 50-50 bet that growth will be stronger, then that will lead to some decent upside moves in those industrial metal prices and also in the precious metal prices. And the action is not unfavorable here. What we do have is a lot of trend following funds. That's always been the case, but this is big money, and there's a lot of it, more of it than ever before. And so the trend following funds have been short precious metals, or certainly short gold and silver, and probably platinum, and therefore they're not going to come out on a little rally in here. And gold and silver have got to stage a bigger recovery before they get those trend following funds reconsidering their positions overall. It looks like we're heading towards that outcome, in my opinion. I don't say it with a huge amount of confidence, but I think it's maybe a 60-40 call in favor of the precious metals moving higher here overall. And in terms of these trend following moves, well, you know, every man, woman, and their brother-in-law has been in the trend following business, has been in Wall Street and other high performing stock markets in here. And so, as they, we get a correction here that approaching, or let alone increasing beyond the 10% 10% level, and you know that would trigger a little bit more selling. So expect volatility. I think that's the main issue I want to. Our main point that I want to make overall. And if global GDP growth is picking up a little bit more this year, we will, as I say, we'll see those industrial metals higher. We'll see precious metals somewhat higher. Commodities that depend, the agricultural commodities rather, will depend more on weather conditions here than anything else. And prices for most of those commodities, though, are reasonably no low. They're certainly not very, very low, but they're reasonably low. Okay. What about looking further ahead? Well, I think we see, you know, a few years of just sort of ranging overall activity here in markets. And as I said yesterday in my write-up on Wall Street, I said that, you know, I was really very cautious about the short to medium term, but very bullish about the long term, the very long term, because I think we will be back in a secular bull market before the end of this decade, and the factors driving that will be cheaper energy prices, hugely important. If I'm wrong on that call, then all bets are off. But the evidence in favor of cheaper energy prices, first the fracking, although I'd like to see that expanding much more rapidly than it is, but I think more and more countries, particularly manufacturing countries, are going to be saying, well, we don't have a level playing field here. The U.S. has got a big edge, and they do. And that's one of the reasons why I'm very bullish of the U.S. over the longer term, because they are in an extremely strong energy position, and that means that all the additional oil and gas that the U.S. was previously having to import at so much cost, that demand has gone, and therefore producers are going to have to cut back unless China's economy just surges again, and it certainly will at some point. Although I wouldn't hold my breath on that, but China is certainly in a position to and needs to be in it needs to do fracking to produce their own natural gas rather than burn so much coal. That's a little bit of a political issue, but in more respects than one. But I won't go down that path, and I don't have time to do that. But I'm sure you understand that that point. China's also going the nuclear route. Looks like Japan will certainly try to reopen some of its nuclear reactors, as long as they're not on high probability fault lines. That's probably a very wise decision. Japan certainly needs lower energy costs. So I think that lower energy costs will be one of the big drivers of a secular bull market. And the biggest one of all, though, is the accelerating rate of technological innovation. And I'm not just talking about mobile phones here, obviously, but I'm talking about the industrialization of the internet and how big machines, let's take the biggest machines of all, whether it's jet engines or huge, any big machine that comes to mind, these engines are going to be more durable, more efficient, and they'll actually be smart machines, given all the sensors that are placed placed within them. So the productivity increases going on in terms of technology are absolutely enormous. And it is an accelerating pace overall that can run for really a very, very long time. It has no natural end. It ends for some sort of exogenous reason, which I won't go into. Leave it to your imagination. Okay, what else is there to cover in here? I think that's it. We touched on a little bit on currencies. I think the yen will weaken again. The Japanese Bank of Japan is determined to see that happen, and rightly so, in my opinion. But people are short the yen, and then you get a corrective phase taking place, and so they cover some of those shorts, and the yen goes up for a while. If the yen were to come back below 100 to the US dollar, it would probably be, well, I think it would be creating another buying opportunity there. I've already mentioned the soft emerging market currencies will create a another buying opportunity over the medium term. I think that's pretty much it here on the currencies. And also the commodities. So I'm not going to hold on to you too long. I'll say all the very best to all of you.